It's an exciting day, God, for me, Mario, God, and for the whole church as well. Father, you know my journey, and you know what has led me through this. And I want to thank you for having such great control over my life, God, that I'm standing here today and about to make a commitment to you. Father, I want to ask for your presence, and as well as the Holy Spirit as well. My knees are shaking and I feel so overwhelmed, God, but I know that you're going to be here with me and you're going to guide me through this testimony. And you're the one who helped me write this testimony. You'll be the same God who will help me deliver it. And I also just pray, God, that my testimony and as well as Mario's will help people with their Christian walks, God, and may it touch their hearts, God, and help them make a decision to make a bigger commitment to you. And just now pray. Amen.
Amen.
Okay. I grew up in a Christian household. My childhood consisted of going to church every Sunday. My parents taught my siblings and I how to pray. Prayer was such a big part of our lives. We prayed before each meal, before we went to bed, every car rides, and so on. In the Philippines, I was quite active in our Pentecostal church. I was part of the praise and worship team and attended youth gatherings every Friday night. The image of being a Christian was seen in me from an early age, but I can tell you that I never had a personal relationship with God. I was taught that hell was an eternally burning place where I would go if I decided to disobey God. And for the longest time, this was the only thing that would keep bringing me back to God. The fear of burning in hell while being stabbed by pitchforks for all eternity. A part of me always felt like that wasn't fair. I was so wrong. Ezekiel 18:23 says, "Do I have any pleasure at all? The wicked should die," says the Lord God. "And not that he should turn from his ways and live." This is the truth about our loving Father, and I had no idea. We migrated here when I was 12. I quickly adapted myself into the dominant culture of my age group. I was never a wild child, but from my late teens and onwards, getting drunk and partying were part of my lifestyle. Although I always knew that God didn't approve, I always succumbed to the temptation until I felt completely normal. I was disrespectful towards my parents, talked bad about people I didn't like, and aspired worldly success. I put God in the back burner and indulged myself into the temporary happiness that the world was offering me. I rarely felt joy in my life. Even after a good party, I would sometimes come home and feel like there was something missing. I thought maybe I just needed to do more fun stuff, like travel the world or get into a romantic relationship. About a year and a half ago, I found myself in a situation that I couldn't handle on my own. And having known God to be the problem fixer, I decided I needed to be closer to him again. This wasn't a genuine act, but a desperate one. I knew that I was just going to lose him. I googled youth groups near my area and found ACF. A number was provided on their website, and I decided to message it. It was Dante's number, don't know where it was. And he replied with a friendly message inviting me to their next meeting. When I first started attending the church in Peru, I had so many criticisms.
I thought, why are they not eating meat? Where do they get their protein from? Forgive me. Why do they have church on Saturdays? They pray too much. Why is everyone greeting me Happy Sabbath? What does it mean anyway? Despite all these criticisms, I kept coming back because I could feel something very different about this church. There was a vast difference between the Pentecostal church that I was used to and this church. For example, praise and worship in the Pentecostal church could be assimilated with a worldly music concert, entertaining and pumps you up. The Adventist church does not worship like this, and I found it unusual. In Easter Camp 2015, I stood up to have Bible studies as I knew I had much to learn about God. I started Bible studies with Amy and Mario, but I wasn't fully committed. Although I knew it was an important step to baptism, I didn't see it as a priority. I would cancel last minute and prioritize work or uni. Sometimes I would be indecisive at what day we can meet. Until one meeting, when the Holy Spirit pressed Mario and Amy to share with me, Until one meeting when the Holy Spirit pressed Mario and Amy to share with me the story of the rich young ruler in Matthew 19:16-22. This rich ruler sadly walks away from Jesus at the realization that he had to give up his riches to follow him. I identified myself with this ruler because I, too, was not willing to surrender everything to him. I made a commitment that night to have a regular day for Bible study and to make it a priority. God says in John 15:7 that if we abide in him, he will abide in us. God is not the one who benefits when we commit to him. We do. We are the ones who grow spiritually. During this journey of getting to know God, I experienced a few bumps. The biggest one was my parents. Their relationship was always rocky. We are all aware that marriage is hard work, and if God is in the center of it, it will surely fall. My parents' unresolved issues between each other had turned into resentments, which resulted into a fight that lasted for 2 years and nearly resulted into divorce. Can you imagine living with your partner and not speaking for 2 whole years? I had gotten used to the situation that it didn't really bother me until I started my Bible studies. God began pressing me to do something about this. He says in Mark 10:9, "Therefore, what God has put together, let not man separate." Mario and Amy advised me to give it up to God and pray, as this is the most powerful tool. They couldn't be more right. My prayers, along with other people's prayers, were heard and a miracle took place. My parents softened their hearts toward one another and decided to reunite. And to this day, I can happily say that my parents are still together and stronger than ever. How powerful is our God to be able to turn such a helpless situation into an inspiration? Through this experience, I learned the power of prayer and its importance in our Christian walk. Philippians 4:6-7 says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ." Soon after, I stumbled across another difficulty. For as long as I remember, I never thought much of myself. I always found my self-worth through people's praises or my outside appearance, through the clothes I wore, my jewelry, the way I did my hair, my makeup. My greatest goal in life was to be somebody. And to achieve that, I needed worldly success. I kept comparing my life with other people who seemed more successful than myself, and it created such an unhealthy competition in me. I spent a number of sleepless nights panicking about the goals that I had not accomplished and how much time I was losing. I had a plan set up. I was going to lose a certain amount of weight, save a lot of money, travel around the world, and apply for my dream job. At one point, my fitness and my job became bigger than God, and I let that happen because I loved my pride more than him. I was hungry for the glory that my success will bring. I could taste the satisfaction of showing people what I had become. 1 John 2:17 says, "For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world." Gradually, I started hearing God telling me to let go of this plan. At first, I ignored it. Then when I couldn't ignore it anymore, I justified my plans to him and tried to negotiate. I tried to convince God and myself that I can do both, that my plans will not get in the way of my faith. And when that didn't work, I became frustrated at God. I thought, "God, you're asking too much from me. You don't know how hard I've worked for this. Have I not sacrificed enough? I have given you so much of me already, and this is all I have." I hardened my heart to God because I was under the impression that I knew better. Giving up control felt like a battle between God and I until I realized that God was fighting for me and not against me. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." In the midst of my own ambitions, I forgot my place in this world. I forgot that I am nothing without God, who created me and everything else in the universe. I forgot that the only reason I'm alive today is because God is allowing me to be, for his own purpose. It took me a while to realize that letting go of this unhealthy control equates to having peace in my life, peace that I had longed for years. As I started attending care group and church more regularly, I started noticing big differences between them and the friends that I knew outside the church. The church's idea of fun is different from what I had gotten used to. Adapting to this was difficult, as I began realizing that I didn't have a great connection with my care group. Although everyone has been welcoming, I still kept looking for that same connection I had with my other friends. This greatly bothered me, as I quickly felt very alone. There's nothing worse than feeling like no one really understands you. I was struggling spiritually, and part of me gave up. I stopped attending care group, and when I did attend, I would come late and leave early. I would leave quickly after church and not bother to spend time with people from church. What made things worse was that my baptism date had been decided. It was coming up in less than 2 months, and I could not believe how fast I was undoing the progress that I had made since making the decision to follow Christ. Me feeling alone led to my old habits and negative thoughts come flooding back into my life. I ended up canceling my upcoming baptism. I felt like I disappointed a lot of people, myself, and especially God. But I could not go through with it as my heart wasn't in it. I based my decision on what I felt rather than what I knew was right. Jeremiah 17:9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Mario and Amy noticed this change in my behavior, but had no idea what was wrong. And let me tell you, they might have not known, but God surely did. He knows us better than we know ourselves and know exactly what we need. One night during Bible study, Mario admitted to me that God had pressed him to change what he was going to talk about to something else. He ended up talking about the accounts of Judas and Peter. With the leading of the Holy Spirit, they shared with me the importance of spending time with godly people and the danger of facing trials alone, as this is what the enemy longs for. When Judas faced trials, he faced them alone and failed. But when Peter faced trials, he consulted friends and made his faith stronger. God says in Genesis 2:18 that it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. Again, I was amazed at how attentive God is at my needs. This really encouraged me, and during that Bible study, God rebuked me through Mario when he pointed out that I was expecting to connect with my care group without making any effort at all. So I made the decision to make more effort to spend time with my care group and surprise myself with the result. Today, I see these people as friends who have helped shape who I am today as a Christian. My spiritual life improved, and I witnessed for myself the joy in being surrounded by people who aspire to be like God. Going back to my parents, I was failing to follow all of the commandments because I could not honor my own parents. I was disrespectful to them and had such short patience that I would feel ashamed at the realization that I treated strangers better than I treated them. I made the decision to challenge myself, with God's help, to spend a whole week being respectful to them. For 7 days, I prayed hard to God to help me be respectful and patient with my parents, and I succeeded. Me and God succeeded. This experience changed me because God showed me that our problems is never bigger than Him. It doesn't matter if you have been stuck in a bad situation for years or decades. There is nothing in this world that is impossible for our God to do. Philippians 4:13 says, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Whew. Although my Christian walk was seemingly better, God continued to convict me to get baptized. I was scared to make the commitment again because I thought I'd fail again. But then something happened, which could only be described as God's amazing work. During Pastor Torres' visit here in Melbourne about a month ago, Mario and Amy organized for me to have a Bible study with him. None of us knew what to expect, but the Holy Spirit truly led that Bible study because Pastor Torres started talking about baptism without knowing anything about my struggles with it. He asked us to read Acts 8:26 to 40, which is the story of Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. At first, I thought this story sounded familiar until I read verse 36, which is the eunuch asking Philip, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Philip then replies and says, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." I couldn't help but smile because this was the same passage I read the day after I canceled my first baptism date. God had been waiting for me to to be where I'm standing right now, about to make the most important commitment I will ever make in my life. And I cannot help but be excited for what is to come after this. My brothers and sisters, if God is convicting you to take the next step in your Christian walk, I encourage you to trust that God only has your best interest in mind. Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose." Today I'm getting baptized not because I think I am now perfect, but because I recognize and accept that I am imperfect, and the only good thing about me is God. I would like to thank my care group, the Werribee Care Group, for those who want to join, for being the best bunch of friends a person could ask for. I've only known you for less than a year and a half, but I'm so grateful for all the memories I have made with all of you. Thank you for showing me the blessing in being with people who are hungry for God, who aspire to have his character. I'd also like to thank Mario and Amy for being the best Bible teachers and friends to me. They never gave up on me, even through times I've wanted to give up on myself. You both have such enormous hearts and patience, which God used in helping me understand more and more about the truth that I searched a long time for. Also, I feel privileged to have been taught by the famous Amy, who Mario always talks about in his sermons. I thank the whole church for being genuine and welcoming, just what God describes his people to be. Seeing you be so faithful to the truth and the commandments, despite modern influences, is truly inspirational, and I'm happy to call you all my family in Christ. Last but not least, I would like to thank God, my amazing Savior, Father, and friend, for having so much love for me that he sent his only son to die on the cross for my sins, for never leaving my side through the good and the bad times of my life. I could not see it before, but I now know that every single trial, heartache, and difficulty I have ever faced has led me to this very moment. The best part is that this is not the end of my journey with Christ. It's only the beginning. Thank you.
Amen. We've been blessed to hear your testimony, blessed to hear of your desire to follow Jesus. And because of your love for Jesus and your desire to be part of God's last day church, I baptize you today in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.